Harry Whitfield's niece, Winona, the one that's married and lives out of state, asked him down to Oyster Bay, New York, for Easter. Harry decided it might be a nice thing to go down. First, he sent the banker for a ticket. A week later, it came back stamped Tunk Lake, Maine, to Grand Central Station, New York, in return. The day he was to leave, it was raining hard. Harry put on his oilskin, arrived at the Tunk Lake Station a good hour ahead of time. Sure enough, at 8:30, he heard the whistle. The one he usually sets his watch by. When it blows, it's a good indication that the train is leaving Goodwin Siding, about 4 miles up the track. 6 minutes later, Harry climbed aboard, and the only other person on the train was Roger Griffin, heading for Ellsworth for supplies. The train started pulling out. All of a sudden, Harry felt a stream of water on his neck. He looked up and saw that it was leaking through the roof, something awful. Roger suggested they move, so they got up and went to a seat opposite the stove in the middle of the car. The train stopped and took on water just east of Franklin. Then they hitched up a load of cordwood near Washington Junction. Then about 3 miles short of Ellsworth, just as Roger and Harry were settling back in their seats, there was a sudden jolt. Harry lurched forward against the seat in front. The train shuddered, then stopped. Harry called down to Ben Twitchell, the conductor who'd fallen on the floor.
"What we hit?" "Most probably a moose."
Sure enough, when they got out, there was a cow moose staring into the cab of the engine. She had a few scratches on her, but that was all.
"Turn off that whistle,"
called Ben to the engineer.
"I can't. She jammed open when we hit the moose. Besides that, we sprung one of the boilerplates and the front wheels clean off the tracks."
Well, Ben went up, took care of the whistle with the blunt end of the fire axe. One of the section men who'd seen the accident got word up to the wrecker, and around 2 p.m. we leapt into Ellsworth. "We could have got here faster than if we'd walked," spat Roger. Harry then commented, "Soon as I get back, I'm unloading my 10 shares of Maine Central." That evening, Harry was going through Portland on the Pullman sleeper, and next morning when he woke up, he was at Grand Central Depot. His written instructions read, "Walk through the station, get a subway train for Times Square, then get out, follow the red lights until you come to another train. Then hop aboard for Penn Station." "Confusing, ain't it?" he'd said to Roger the day before as he was going over the instructions. Roger had said, "Hope you got your compass, Harry." Well, Harry walked through the station, noticing that the ground floor alone covered about 5 acres. My, that was a big station. He got onto the subway all right, but it seemed the entire population of the city of New York was already on the train. Well, sir, she started a jiggling and a shuddering. And after a while, started to move. Everything was all right until he got out at Times Square. His instructions just said, follow the red lights. However, Harry noticed that some went east and others went west. Harry asked a stranger, who said not to worry, and that he was still confused after riding these trains for 40 years. The stranger got him on the right train, and not long after, Harry was sitting down on a seat in the Long Island Railroad, the last leg of his journey.
Alum Heist, Stewart Side, Forest Hills, Kew Gardens, and Jamaica all change.
When Harry handed the conductor a ticket to Oyster Bay, the conductor said something about changing at Jamaica. Harry said, isn't this the train to Oyster Bay? Conductor told him it was. Well, said Harry, then I'm not doing any changing. I've spent 24 hours up and down, here and there. Now I bought a ticket to Oyster Bay, and I'm not getting off the train until we get there. A little later, Harry, just a mite reluctant, changed trains at Jamaica.
Amityolis, Williston, Albertson, Roslyn, Greenvale, Glen Head, Seacliff, Glen Street, Glen Cove, Locust, Valley Mill, Nick, and Oyster Bay train on track number 9.
By the time Harry finally arrived at Oyster Bay, he decided to hang on to that main central stock. Kinda weary-like, he clumb down onto the platform. His niece, Winona, was waiting and said, how was the trip, Uncle Harry? He answered, my Lord, Winona, but that was a long poke.